Brother Paul for the good song tonight. I think that that ought to be our prayer. And I think I read, I've given you this statistic before. I think I read 87% of Christians have never won anybody to Christ. So if that's true, you've got 13% of people. And that doesn't mean that the 13% has won more than one. That's 87 have won zero. And I wonder what happened if we got it to 50% or if we got it to 80% the other way. And I think it's because, again, we have very little burden for souls. If we had burden for souls, we'd carry tracts with us. And Brother Bob, we would, wherever we're going, you know, you don't have to have a called visitation to tell people about Jesus. And so I hope your burden is for lost people. And a lot of times we'll say, we just want to get people in church. Well, there's nothing wrong with getting people that are out of church in church, but it doesn't stop there. If they already know Jesus, praise God, then part of the responsibility has already been taken care of by somebody else. And so it's not just to put people in seats, it's to get them into heaven. And so just pray. My prayer is not just for me, but for you. In our church, we'd have a greater burden for souls. Amen. Well, I appreciate Brother Fry and Miss Polly and what they've meant to us over the years, meant to our church, and meant to all of you. And it's always an honor to have him with us. And I thought yesterday that at his age, he gets around so good and still has fire about him. And, you know, when Brother Gene passed away this week, I mentioned it at the funeral. I was riding home and I thought, you know, we've lost some great men, Brother Gene and of course, Brother Mark and Brother Wade Finney, Brother Odell. And if we don't have some young men that will step up and take responsibility, you can't replace them, right? You just come in behind them and continue what they started. And I would say that about Brother Fry. He's probably only got about 20 good years left in him. And so if the Lord doesn't come back, somebody's going to have to come in behind him and carry the mantle. And so we need to be praying that God would raise up such a man as that. But till he does, I'm glad we've got Brother Fry with us. And so, preacher, if you'd come and preach for us tonight, it'd be our honor.
I'd like for you to open your Bibles this evening to Psalms 143. Psalms 143. And while you're finding your places in the Word of God, let me say, it is my joy and my privilege to be here in my home church, Currytown Baptist Church. It's good to see you tonight, and I appreciate you coming to the meeting. And my friend, Brother Bob Whitaker, and his wife, Sister Sandra, friends of many years, so glad to have them in the meeting tonight. Then Jose, and then Brother Leonard back here. Let me take a moment before I read the scripture. I want to thank my pastor, and I want to thank you. In these times, the valleys I've been in, the suffering I've gone through, you came to our aid not only with prayers, but financially. And so we're so appreciative of that. I would ask you to pray for my wife, Miss Polly. She's having a terrible time with back. She took a fall almost 2 weeks ago. And then I was getting smart. I got up early one morning, 6 o'clock, that's early for a Baptist preacher. And I trimmed the hedges around the house, and somehow I pulled a muscle in my back. I know I'm not young like I used to be, but anyway, so I've been hobbling around. And then I was thinking when the pastor was talking here a while ago that I didn't know this, but in 1 year I had to learn to walk twice. Isn't that something? Well, you know all about that. But the wonder of it all, and then Sister Susan, I want her to can that music so I can carry that with me in meetings. Isn't she a tremendous pianist player? And I appreciate the songs she sings, and I appreciate her faithfulness. It's an honor, always an honor, to stand on this platform. But I have never seen such a time in my life where the devil is trying to get down the people of God. Never before. So in the time of my illness out of the pulpit, and God touched me, I'm glad I'm able to travel back full time on the highway again. But never one time in that valley I wanted to quit. I wanted to press on. If you could and would, please, would you stand with me this evening in honor to the reading of the Word of God and prayer time? I enjoyed that song tonight. In Psalms 143, the psalmist says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord." He said, "Give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in the day sight, listen, for in the sight, thy sight, shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He has smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me," he says, "is desolate. Remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me, to teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God." Notice now, thou art my God, and thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, listen, bring my soul out of trouble. And as thy mercy, and of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul. My Father, I come before you this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus. And my Father, we're so grateful again that we can come and congregate together in the house of God. Lord, I want to thank you for these people who have come out for the evening service. Thank you, Lord, for our preacher friends. And I pray for them. I pray for Brother Bob and his wife, Brother Jose and his wife and family as they labor in your vineyard. And I certainly pray for my pastor, Lord. I realize he carries a heavy load as he shepherds this church. And I pray for him and his dear wife. Bless our church family and the friends that are here tonight, and save souls and get glory to yourself. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. As you being seated, I talked with Jerry and Diane on the way to the meeting tonight. Of course, Diane's home came home yesterday, and she still got a while to go. I said to Diane, "I want to encourage you some. It'll take you about a year to get over this surgery." She said, "Thanks." I had an open surgery in 1995. It takes you about a year to get feeling good again, feeling like a human being. In the times that I was absent from the pulpit, and I remember this, I went 8 weeks and never prayed. I went 8 weeks and never read my Bible. And I was losing weight down to 134 pounds. Then one morning, it's a wonder of it all, that thank God for that song, one morning, I awakened and I was hungry. I said to my daughter, "Janet, would you go to Cracker Barrel and get me a pound of fried crispy bacon and a bowl of gravy?" And she did, and I don't know if it was that much enough. But anyway, then my appetite began to come back slowly. Now, then the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, "You need to get back in there and go to work." Said, "You need to talk to me again. Are you with me? You need to read my word again." And I forgive. Listen, I said, "Lord, forgive me for all the terrible things. Oh, but through it all, God's grace is sufficient. So I've gone back and I put together some material that I used years ago. And most of the time now when I preach, I'm preaching to myself first. And I want to preach on this thought tonight. Don't waste your valley. Don't waste your valley. Every person that's saved one day will walk one of the darkest valleys you've ever lived in. I've been through some valleys. And let me give you a brief introduction to our message and then the message. One day a preacher who just lost his family to a tragic fire and had fallen into depths of a deep, dark depression. He was walking down a city street. There he came upon a construction crew that was erecting a new church. He stopped to watch them as he worked, and he watched this one man, and he particularly observed this one worker who was busy carving a triangle out of stone with a chisel and a hammer. Stepping closer, he asked the stone cutter, he said, "What are you doing? What are you carving?" So the worker pointed to the steeple of the church and said, "Do you see that small opening up there near the steeple? Well, I'm carving this out down here so that it will fit in up there." Sometimes in our valleys, God's carving us out down here so we'll fit in up there. Don't waste your valley. So the preacher was immediately stirred in his heart, and he realized a new and faithfulness of God and came to understand that the valley he was in for that moment was God's way of carving him out down here so that he would fit in up there. Folk, we live in a world that is filled with people just like that. There are people all around us who live their lives in depression and despair and despondency. Through the ages, famous people have been plagued of the same thing. Don't think about it, because of your age, you've gotten away some things. Back some years ago, I'm preaching over at Meadowview Baptist Church. Brother Jeff Faggett, I'm sure you know him. And so he's going to put together a songbook. And I said, "When you get it all done," I said, "I'd like to have a copy." And it only has 900 pages in it. 900 pages. And I noticed when I was looking through that book the other day, there's one song that has 14 verses. Now, that could be a song service. But I realized in commentary of those hymns original that the writers went through a deep, dark valley while they're writing those songs. Great individuals like George Washington, Martin Luther, Charles Spurgeon, John Adams, Winston Churchill, many of the hymn writers, even David, who is called a man after God's own heart in Acts 13 and verses 22, suffered from depression and defeat. Now this psalm was born out of a time of depression and discouragement and defeat. Now never before have I seen in my travels for the Lord, never before have I seen the people of God so discouraged. I appreciate the preachers and pastors that stand and preaches this blessed old book. But there are people today, and I may not finish this message tonight, but I'll come back to the Lord with it tomorrow night. I don't want to keep you too long. But people I've known for many years was my mentors. I'm not talking about preachers, I'm not talking about missionaries, not evangelists, but have gotten out of church because of what we've gone through with this COVID-19, and they'll never come back again. I thank the Lord that people who are faithful once again get back where God wants us to be. We need to get out of this valley that we're in. A preacher that I'll be preaching for next week, the Lord willing, he said to me, "Brother Fry, I want you to come. But I've lost a lot of people." And he said, "I doubt whether they ever come back or not." That's the same song I hear everywhere I go. But I said to this pastor, "But God does give you a foundation. And build on this foundation for God's glory. Don't waste the valley. Get where God wants you to be." So I'd like to spend a little time in this verse this evening. I want to preach from the pastor today in Everett to encourage. Don't waste your valley. When I started back on the road a few months ago, I said, "Lord, would you give me some messages that will help me? Would you give me something to preach that would help the congregation? And I have not met one in 65 years I've been preaching that has not been in some dark valleys.
Right.
Some of them have been light valleys. Some of them have been heavy valleys. Some are deep valleys. I remember back when they did that procedure on my brain, and I'm laying in my bed, and I said to the Lord, I don't understand. I didn't say, Lord, why are you doing that to me? I said, I don't understand. But he said to me, I made this storm for you. And I made this valley for you, and I'm riding every wave with you. Oh, what a blessing.
Amen.
It's always good when God talks to you.
Amen.
In the time you don't talk to him. Then the Bible tells us again, I know that many people, many people today are in that valley. But don't waste your valley behind, because there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
I will assure you that. The Bible said in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Aren't you glad that God controls the valley?
Amen.
I sold my motor coach, and my wife said to me, and it was up in Hampton Inn in Lynchburg, and one night she looked at me and she said to me, this is not going to work. I can't live in these motel rooms. My wife's health is bad, and she said, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know, but I think we should buy another motorhome. We went down to 25-footer. We could put this home in the one that we had. And so I was driving up to Harrisburg to start a meeting the other week, my second trip out. I looked on the screen. It said, get attention, time for a coffee break. I don't mind my wife telling me what to do, but a computer telling me it's time for me to stop and take a coffee break. Isn't that amazing? But I'm so glad that God makes a way for us. As he controls the valleys, he determines the depth and the length and their duration. He sends the valley season into our lives to develop us, as in to make us more like him. Oh, we always sing that song, I want to be just like the Lord. I want to walk like him and talk like him. Well, then if you do that, you're going through some valleys.
Right.
You're going to go through some valleys to get there. The Bible says in Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Then Ephesians 4:13, till we all come into the unity of faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and a perfect man who the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now notice, ladies and gentlemen, I wish I could tell you that everybody is in unity in the church. So I tell a little funny stuff along the way. Last week I was in a church that felt like it would never work there. So a little boy who's an usher, he's 12 years old, and there was a man in the church last Sunday, marked 40 years of me going to that church and preaching in revival, even when I was a pastor. So this little boy named Dakota, we was having lunch together one day with some of the folk, and he was at breakfast, rather. He said to me, he said, preacher, he said, you don't tell those funny things anymore. Are you all right? I said, well, I feel like this is a more serious note today, son. But then I came across this scripture. You can take two cats, tie their tails together, hang them across a clothesline. They'll be together, but they won't be in unity. I will assure you of that, ladies and gentlemen. So I told that one, and he said, I like that. Now, listen to what David said. He's talking about the pain in the valley. Valleys without pain is no good, folks. Oh, the valley's going to have pain in that valley. Now, you listen to me. And the Bible said in Psalms 143 and verse number 3, the pain of darkness. David said, I prayed, and nobody seemed to come to my rescue, God. He said, my family, my friends who ate at my table have turned away from me. Would you lead me to the rock that is higher than I? What David said in this time of my valley, in my darkest valley, Lord, Can you get me out of here and put me up yonder? Only God, you'll know where I am. Have you been in that valley? I've been in that valley. If you haven't been there, you'll get there. But don't waste that valley, folks. Don't waste that valley. Again, the Bible says in Psalms 41:9, yea, my own family, friends, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread and had lifted up heels against me. Talking about the rebellion of Absalom. Now also, not only the pain, but again, we find the pain of depression. No heart. Sometimes when you get in this valley, you just feel like I can't go another step. And then to say, well, I'll just stay home. Let me say something, folks. I can preach this better than I could a year ago. You may feel bad. You may hurt. But the church is the best place to be. I want to be around the house of God. Preacher called me from Virginia the other day, and I do a lot of meetings in the state of Virginia. He said, Brother Fry, they just shut down one of our Baptist churches of health as because of COVID-19. And he said, they've got us just on Sunday. He went on to tell me, and about three churches in there, and they said, we can't have a meeting this year because of health reasons, because the health department said we can't open our doors. I'm going to get ugly right here. Even though the church and pastors are going through things that I never went through and hope I never go through. But to make a decision, I think this, God honors togetherness. He honors togetherness. If you're going to get sick in the house of God. That's where I got sick at, in the house of God. When I came down with COVID-19, I was in a church outside of Lynchburg, Virginia. And about 19 of them hugged on me the whole week. I left there and went on to Harrisburg, feeling fine. Got through that meeting, woke up on Thursday morning, couldn't walk. Couldn't move my legs. And I knew I had 250 miles home and driving that big rig. Somehow, by the help of God, I got out of the bed and unhooked all the AC, what you're supposed to do, and hooked the car up, hit it down the highway. The first rest area, I pulled in there, and I said to my wife, I said, I can't go any further. I don't know how we're going to get home. Perhaps we're going to be parched here for a while. I don't know what's wrong with me. Then in that moment, I felt the pain of depression like I never had before. And I'm like the little train. I can make it. I can make it. So I crawled back on the steering wheel and drove 250 miles without a stop. God is good. So down in the valley, there will be depression. Again, David's talking about overwhelmed. Carries the idea of being encased in darkness and destined. Or it carries the idea of a total, listen, astonishment. He says, David cannot believe that he has all these things has happened to him as if he had no heart to go on. Many are walking that path today. Think about this. I was in a meeting, supposed to be in a meeting this year in a church in Virginia, and the pastor called me. I called him, brother, to confirm the meeting. He said, no, I heard you was dead. He said, well, so we're not going to have the meeting. I said, I'm very much alive. And he said, well, we can't have the meeting this week because I made no preparation. He said, do you have an opening? I said, I do, the last of August. I'll come with the help of God. So people had me dead and in the grave. Sometimes I think they want old-time preachers dead. That might have been a bad statement there. But anyway. Then also, one day, David said, this got to be an end. So the valleys of life, are shared experiences, obviously. There are many different types of valleys. But don't all pass through the same place. Your valley may be different than mine. Your valley may be different than mine. But we don't all walk the same valley. Always a different valley. Remember that. And I think of this. Of all the people on planet Earth, God created them all, and not a one is made alike. Valleys, you're going to have them, I'm going to have them, as long as we live on this earth, until God gives us that glorified body, we're going to be in the valley, folks. So don't waste your valley there. The Bible says in John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Praise God. What a verse of scripture here. What strength we find there. They took our Lord Jesus. beating beyond recognition in the judgment hall, and then laid that cross upon his shoulder. And he went to Mount Calvary, and there voluntarily he laid his life down. And they said, well, then already beat him. No one recognized him. And we've got him now. And said this angry soldier came by and pierced his side. And forth came blood and water. I think about this often. Had that side never been opened, you and I could not get in as a bride. Oh, I thank God for that ribbon side, don't you? But they put him in that tomb and sealed it all. But thank God he had already prophesied. On the third day, I shall rise again. Now, nobody there, soldiers on the outside and the guards, something was happening on the outside. But on the inside of that tomb, something else was happening, folks. Now, they put him in that grave, in that tomb. But then, in his own power, he resurrected himself. But when he got up, he went down to the lower part and there conquered death, hell, and the grave, and took the keys away from the devil and put him on his right side. So he's still my Lord. And he knows where we are in our valleys. And he said, now, I know what it is to have trouble in the world. But he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Aren't you glad that death couldn't hold him? Amen. Aren't you glad there's people in this world that cannot keep them home from worshiping God, regardless of the consequences? Then again, the valleys of life are going to come our way. That is, given when we come, listen, now, when we come to this place, we have to remember, how can we overcome this valley? How can I overcome this valley? I think about Job. Not a man on this earth suffered any more than Job outside of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Job, when I look at Job, the Bible says in Job 2:3-7, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him, notice this, in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and showeth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Then notice now in Job 2:7. So he went to Satan forth, listen. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sores. I'm talking about boils from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Right. And you didn't take years for this to happen. This is a matter of time, folks. Listen to me. Job faced the darkest valley of his life. His friends just walked off and left him. It's be awful to live in a world where you have no friends. But his friends walked off and left him. And then there come his family, all of them destroyed, and lost all of his wealth. And then he came down sick. And then they said, listen, but Job said this. And all the things that happened to him, not one time did he curse God. But one day God said he's proven himself. He's in the darkest valley because I allowed him to be there. But one day Job walked out of that valley. Are you with me? He walked out of that valley. And God gave him more than he ever had in the beginning. That's just like God, isn't it? Church, I've seen this happen. The devil come to me in my darkest hours and say, how you going to live? You got no income. How you going to pay your bills? That's what he work on you with. But you know, this church and other churches, even people that brought money to my house to pay my bills, to give me a love heart. Isn't that God? When you're in your darkest valley, you'll find people standing on the riverbank to help you. I'm glad that we have men like Job in the Bible, aren't you? We've got to remember one thing. We must be careful that we do not waste the valley. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 12:7-11. Paul talks about the thorn in the flesh and his infirmities. I don't know of many preachers that does not have a bodily infirmity. I don't know. Some are harder than others. But now the second thing I want you to notice, the prize in the valley. The prize in the valley. The Bible said here now, number 1, verses 2, The price of repentance, our sin, David's failures, notice, and his repentance of sin. He said, I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. Now, Psalms 32 and verses 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. In my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah, be quiet there. So you see, I'm glad in the time that David said he came before the Lord. He confessed his sins, his shortcomings. What's wrong today? A lot of Christians will not confess their sins before God. They want everybody to think they're on that path, and they always ride that mountaintop. My daddy said one to me one time growing up on the farm. He said, son, when people get high and mighty, that's what he would say. But God has a way to pull them off the horse. God has a way to get us where we need to be for God. Do you thank God for your valleys? I thank God for that song, don't you? He's the valley of all valleys. Again, the Bible tells us, again, we look here in the Word of God. He said, I confess my sins. So our valleys, while they are always the result of living in a valley, is a cursed world. We're in a cursed world, folks.
Right.
We're in a cursed world. Not always caused by our sin. Yet when we begin to seek God, our sin will always become an issue that must be dealt with. When you get in this valley, you're going to take an inventory. Before I moved to Lexington in 1965, my family and I worked at a wholesale place. In those days, I drove a truck to deliver groceries. I had a man on the road selling. If a man wanted to buy 3 cans, and I've delivered 3 cans to a grocery store now in my time. And so we say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I was so embarrassed because I would have to deliver 3 cans of canned goods in a store. Why was I embarrassed? But then I realized that this perhaps was a person in a deep valley. No vision, so forth and so on. I'm going to get away from that trip. But in this time, David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He will not hear me. What's happened to our churches because they will not repent? Don't waste your valley. I remember saying, Lord, you're going to make me a better person. I searched my heart. I didn't say, Lord, I've been preaching for you so many years. I didn't even say that. But I said, Lord, I don't understand. There's a lot of times when our children growing up, they didn't understand, did they? We're God's children. Sometimes we don't understand. Then the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, regardless of whether or not sin is responsible for our valley, we are still sinners saved by grace. We're still sinners saved by grace. Then David had much to remember, the stories of what God had done for Israel and closer home, the great things that God had done for him personally, the lion, the bear, and the giant. When walking through your valley, remember what God has done for you. Review your life and read his word and remember how he saved you and how he changed your life. Remember how he has abundantly blessed you, refreshing your heart and encourage you. I came across this little poem one day. God's work is in mysterious ways. He said, God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in, unfavorable minds of never failing skill. He treasures up his bright signs. Notice now, and works his sovereign will to the faithful saints of God. The cloud you must dread as big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sin, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. That's not all. His purpose will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. Bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. He said, blend the unbeliefs is sure to err him, and scan though his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. Back a few weeks ago, I was in a meeting, and my dear wife was in that motor home that we got, and so sick she couldn't go to church, not one service. But I had her where I could look out for her. And on the last night of the meeting, a lady came and knocked on the door and brought my wife a dozen roses. And I said, well, we've got a long ways home. She told me, said, wrap them in a wet towel. Lay them in your shower. They'll be all right when you get home. And so when we got home, not a one of them had wilted. And we put them in a vase and filled it with water and put that little aspirin in them. And for days, it was there. Then one day, I noticed that they began to droop. Life was gone. They'd been cut off from the life source where they got their sap and they're going to die. Okay, how much water and aspirin you put, they just were going to die. Back in the first of the year, sick, my wife always had a flower garden in the back of our house. You've heard me tell things like this before. And she said, no flower garden this year because you're not able. Now, I got me a mattock out of the garage, and I dug up a flower bed. I planted those seeds. And every day I water those when I'm home to make sure all of them keep pretty. But then the other day, evening late, I was watering the flowers, and I seen these hummingbirds coming. I said, had not been for these flowers, where would they get their honey at? Then I remember when I was living on the farm, my daddy would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and go to the field. Never had a tractor, plowed horses and mules, and never had a tractor. Said he wanted a tractor on his land. But then we children stood back with Mama to fix dinner. And so when we started to the field, walking down the trail, my mother said, do you see that bush right there? I said, yes. She said, that's honeydew on that bush. And I said, Mama, can that be so? She said, break off a leaf and taste. The sweetest honey I'd ever tasted came from that. In the night, God visited that bush and put honey all over it. I'm glad that he is a rose that never wilted. Aren't you? He's still our abiding morning star and our coming king, as we sang a while ago. So don't waste your valley. Then again, the Bible tells us something else. The path from the valley, folk, will not always be in the valley, but there's a path. Now think of this. Think of this, folk. When God puts you in the valley, but he said, in this valley, you're going to find a path to walk out of this valley. There's always a path for you to walk out of this valley. So when I think of these things, the Bible said there's a path of prayer. I appreciate what my pastor talked about. I'm glad we got some folk that pray, not when you lay me down to sleep, or grace over the table. But they have a prayer life in a secret closet. The other day I was back in the room and I'm praying. My wife came back and said, who are you talking to? I said, the Lord. That's who I'm talking to. I like the time that we can have together. So there's a path of prayer. Waiting several times in these verses, David refers to his prayers. I'm certain that there are times when David wanted to stop praying, but he didn't. 21 years ago, folk, now listen, I want God to get all this glory. 21 years ago, when I loaded my last load of books out of my office at Spruce Street Baptist Church, and I stood on the hilltop up there and observed the buildings and the land that God had provided under our ministry. And I started to get back in the truck, and the devil said to me, he's always there, if God loved you, he'd never let you leave from right here. Because I was taken care of, and I had people that loved me. And I felt so small, so small. Then the sweet Spirit of God hugged me and said, I've just promoted you. I didn't know what he was talking about. That was 21 years ago. 21 years ago, and the Lord let me go to a church to preach. He gave me my check that the people gave me, and when I sat down, I almost fainted with $26,000.
God, are you with this preacher tonight? God told me, said, you went back to 21 years ago. I'm going to take care of you. I promote you. Well, I'm only here to tell you that don't waste your valley. It's not all in money. But oh, how sweet it is in the morning when you get up and the dew is still on the roses. And then again, the Bible tells us we're commanded to pray. I want to say this. Pray when God says, wait. Oh, pray. Prayer is more than just a religious activity. You know that. Right. It's a path out of our valley. Now, George Washington at Valley Forge in 1776, he didn't give up often. He could be seen kneeling in the snow before God. And before his sovereign God, he kept on praying to win the battle. I don't know whether you ever heard of Dr. Percy Ray or not. And he used to, I went down to the camp meeting, Camp Zion, years ago. I've been down there when they'd have 3,000 on the tabernacle. And on one morning, he said, we're going to the church, men, to pray. But every man has to pull his shoes off because we're going to walk on holy ground. We went in that building, that auditorium, and I seen this bench to the side, and I seen elbows, holes in the cloth. And I seen where he nailed it, wore out two holes in that cloth. I just wonder if I wanted to touch that, you know. When I stand behind any pulpit, like Brother Mike, my pastor, I'm glad to put my hand on the same pulpit that he preaches from. So along the way, God said, let me tell you, I want you to pray. Then the path of praise, what's happened to our praising God? Right. We hardly ever hear people say amen, hallelujah. I went to, back in July, my church, I went to, well, I pastored there 8 years. I started on an old Rush Armor. And they've been struggling. Let me tell you a little story about that. We built church facilities. That's back in those days when people wanted a church in their community. And you know what they did? The neighbors came and built that church for us free of charge. Never in labor. Never, that church never been in debt. And then I resigned. And another pastor took that work and then he went on to be with the Lord. And then I've been honored since I've been in evangelism. I'm so appreciative of all of that. But there's a man by the name of Roland Oliver. He went there and stayed 37 years. 37 years. Just a few weeks ago, he had to be his dear wife, put her beneath the sun. Now, and he drove, now get this now, he drove 60 miles one way and 60 miles back and passed the church for 37 years. I said, there's a man you need to honor. There's a man who's been faithful to God. And then, when I was there pastoring a man by the name of Floyd Lawless, he got saved, became one of our church trustees. And he had a large family, and they started coming to church. Then Mark, I thought he was the meanest of them all. So they called me back up there for a meeting, and Mark was 13 years old. 13 years old, and he got saved. Today he pastors that church. Today. Now, isn't that God? Isn't that God? When people say it can be done, it cannot be done. Regardless of where you are, Job is always, listen, God is always on the throne. I'm going to talk about Job, and I'm through. Again, I say in Job 1:20-22, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh. Right. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job found praises for the Lord. Right. Now, let me get back to Hilltop. They had been in a dry spell because of this illness. They had services outside. And I thank God, yesterday morning, I looked at all the young people in Kerrtown. And on a Monday night, I seen this group of young people come. They sang that night. And when they began to sing, they began to raise their hand. I'm not talking about old people. I'm talking about teenagers. they began to praise the Lord. I felt a moving, like David said, there's a moving in the mulberry tree. I felt a move of God in there. On Tuesday night, they had another group of young people to come. I said, young people, this is our church. I praise God for pastors who has a burden to reach young people. And back on Tuesday night, as the group came to sing, and they sang, and they cried, and people stood up and testified, I never got on the platform. That don't scare me at all, folks. On Wednesday night, I said, it can't be repeated again. They got to singing. Now, I'm not talking about just song. No, had no music or nothing, a cappella. Just singing. And God moved in. People began to go to each other and hug them and tell them how much they loved them. That's revival, folk. When people come to the place, they want to be together and forget about the valley that they have just come out of. So we experience revival there. Then I go on to another church over in King, outside of King. And on Sunday morning, it broke out again. Oh, I like to see here at Curry Town, people. I remember, Pastor, I used to go to Open Door Baptist Church in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Went there many years. One day I said to the choir leader, would you sing that song, Where We Never Grow Old? And he did. 2 hours later, we're still singing the same song. People shouting, praising God. I'd like to see that again. Don't waste your valley, folks, because I'm telling you, there is a brighter side. And then I'm going to be through here. The Bible talks about Nehemiah. He said in 8:10, then he said unto them, go your way, and the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto him, for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither by any be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Don't waste your valley, folk. And I'm not saying that I'm the only one who's been through a valley, but many of my comrades. Pastor, my heart's so sad that my men and my preachers didn't make it. Didn't make it. Preachers I've preached for over the years didn't make it. Then the devil said, why don't you just stop? How can I stop when there's so much to tell? How can I do that to my God? He called me, saved me to serve him. So don't quit on God. Going back to Hilltop again, the first year, Brother Floyd wrote a song. I got a little bit of God in me. Never was recorded. So I went to a group of singers and I said, would you record before my friend goes to be with the Lord? He was dying with cancer. Will you record this song on CD? And they did. And I gave it to him and the family. And he wrote that song, A Little Bit of God in Me. I'm glad I got a little bit of God in me. How about you? Would you stand, please? Every head bowed and every eye closed. My Heavenly Father, thank you for time together around the Word of God this evening. I pray your Word and, Lord, the testimony has been a help to our congregation. In Christ's name I pray. Would you come, brother?